trying to start. So I have a lot of advertising to do and some explaining to do before new material comes. So first of all, the color handout that's over there is the handout for my talk tomorrow. So this is the first bit of advertising. So I'm going to give a talk in the graduate student seminar on Kolmogorov's solution of Hilbert's 13 problem. And the main point, or the fun statement, is that in some sense there is only one two-variable continuous function, and it's the function plus. In other words, every other continuous function of two variables can be written as a composition of finitely many pluses and functions of one variable. So, for example, you know, x times y is equal to e to the log x plus log y. So, right, it's a one variable function plus one variable function, and then another one variable function. If you go for x to the power y, then I don't remember the formula, but clearly it can be done with exponentiation and logarithms and pluses. So the claim is that any function of two variables can be done this way, even ones for which it is even non-elementary function. This covers the elementary functions. But the claim is that even if you look at the real part of the Riemann zeta function, so that's a function of two variables because it's a function on the complex plane, the claim is that even that is just a composition of continuous functions in one variable and the function plus. Anyway, beyond being a sort of an amusing statement, it's also a pretty picture, and the picture is or part of the picture, the first part out of four, is on your handout. So, okay, that's first bit of advertisement. Second bit of advertisement, on Friday, there will be at 1 p.m. right here, there will be a special seminar by Jonathan Hillman on embedding three manifolds in four space. So, you see, knot theory has a generalization. So, knot theory is about embedding one manifold in three manifolds. Okay? But in the spirit of knot theory, people study higher dimensional knot theories, such as, well, embedding of any, so the topological study of embedding of any, of manifolds of any dimension inside any other manifold in any bigger dimension. So that's kind of the vague relationship with knot theory. So also Jonathan Hillman himself has done work on knot theory, and so I would imagine that sort of knot theory will appear more or less precisely the kind that I tend to ignore, so the topological end of it rather than the algebraic end of it. So you are hereby invited. Next, well, what we did last time was the following. We said the space A, which is the direct sum of all the ANs, which in itself is the direct sum of all the DNs modulo 4T relations, so it's core diagrams modulo 4T relations, and I remind you that it's sort of the double dual or the polynomial double dual of knot theory. Okay, so the dual of knot theory is knot invariance. You restrict your attention to polynomial invariance, and the dual of that is A. We're still yet to prove it, but that will come later. Anyway, so this is in some. You know, in the mathematical division between spaces and their dual, this is on the same side as knots. Okay, it's dual to the dual of knots, or it's dual to a part of the dual of knots. So it inherits operations from knots. Okay, nodes have a connected sum operation, and invariants of nodes can be multiplied. So as a result, A inherits a product. The product is called M, and it's just a juxtaposition of diagrams, or if they're written along a line, or the connected sum of diagrams if they're written on a circle. So if you have two chord diagrams written on a circle, then the product will be the connected sum. And we've proven that it doesn't matter where you take the sort of where you make the bridge connecting the two diagrams. So anyway, it has a product and a coproduct. Oh, the coproduct, again, is inherited from the product of knot invariants. And it was, so if this was M, then the coproduct, I think last time I called it delta with a triangle. This time I want to call it box because, well, delta is the conventional name for coproducts, but I think we would like to have delta for something else later on. So box is the operation that takes a chord diagram and maps it to the sum of all ways of splitting it so that a part goes to the left and a part goes to the right. Okay? And then the claim is that with these operations, A is a graded, connected, commutative, and co-commutative bialgebra. So let me remind you what the things mean. So bialgebra means that it's an algebra, so it has a product, which is commutative and associative. It also means that it's a coalgebra, so it has a coproduct, which is just the same as a product, except all diagrams get their arrows reversed. It's graded, the product and the coproduct are compatible, so the coproduct is a homomorphism of algebras, and equivalently the product is a homomorphism of coalgebras. I will not repeat it now. Graded just means that everything has a degree, but that's obvious. We just declare An to be of degree n, and the operations are compatible with the degree. So the product preserves degree in the sense that if the input is of degree 5 and degree 7, the output is of the sum of the degrees, and the coproduct also preserves degrees in the sense that if the input is of a certain degree, then when you add up the degrees of the outputs, you get the degree you started from. So it's a graded commutative, co-commutative bialgebra. And connected is a word that comes from homology. So the homology of a space, well, the homology of a connected space is one-dimensional in degree zero. And if your space is a topological group, then its homology is also a commutative, co-commutative bialgebra. So borrowing from that world, people say that a bialgebra, a graded bialgebra is connected if its degree zero piece is one-dimensional. That's the whole meaning of the word connected here. It doesn't really mean much, okay? And in our case, the degree zero piece consists only of the empty circle, so it's one-dimensional, okay? Anyway, the reason I stated it in this language is because there is a faint theorem called the Milnor-Moore theorem. And the Milnor-Moore theorem, well, when stated in full, says that if you have a picture like this, so a graded, connected, co-commutative bialgebra is, so I didn't even need to say commutative, okay? So it's even more general than the statement we have here, is the universal enveloping algebra of its space of primitives. Now, I need to define the things that appear here. So, primitives, well, in general, P of an algebra A is by definition the set of elements of the algebra, so it's the set of all A's, such that if you take the coproduct of A, so A is kind of unbreakable. Okay? So if the coproduct attempts to break it, it comes out in one piece, either on the left or on the right. So it's A tensor 1 plus 1 tensor A. So examples. So, you know, I need to define more things. But examples in our case. So examples. The core diagram with one chord in it is primitive, right? Because if you apply the coproduct, the coproduct is the sum of all ways to put part of it on the left, to put the chord on the left or on the right. But that's exactly what is written here. Okay, there are only two ways. Two, the empty diagram isn't primitive, right? Because there is only one way to break it apart, and that way is, in fact, it's both A tensor 1 and 1 tensor A, but it's not the sum. There is a factor of 2 missing. Okay? Three, the X diagram isn't. Indeed, let's see where the X diagram goes. So the X diagram goes to so either everything goes to the left, so it's an X tensor empty, or one goes to the left and one goes to the right, and there are two ways that this can happen. So, I mean, either this goes to the left and that goes to the right, or the other way around, but in both cases, you end up with one chord on the left and one chord on the right, so that's a two here. Plus, everything goes to the right, which is this. This is not primitive. Well, if it wasn't for the middle term, it would be primitive. But as written, it is not primitive. Likewise, the chord diagram with two parallel chords isn't. And the reason is that, well, it's exactly the same. It goes to it on the left with nothing on the right, plus the exact same thing, because if you split and let one go to the left and one go to the right, you get exactly the same thing. Plus, everything goes to the right. But the moral of these two formulas taken together is that this diagram, or rather, this linear combination is primitive. Okay? So there are more primitives than just this one, right? Because this linear combination will go to the difference between this and that. The middle term drops out, and you're left with what you wanted. Okay? Well, next, I need to define what the universal enveloping algebra is, and I could do that, but I think I'd rather reserve it for later when we would really need it for a different purpose. Okay? So instead, I will say that if our algebra is also commutative, then this universal enveloping algebra reduces to the algebra of polynomials. Okay? So then it is the algebra or bi-algebra of polynomials on its primitives. Okay, so I should remind you that an algebra of polynomials is always a bi-algebra. Well, it has a you can multiply polynomials, and last time we talked about how you co-multiply polynomials. If the generators of the algebra of polynomials are graded, so if each variable, so if you have a polynomial in variables x1, x2, x3, x4, and you just declare that each variable has a certain degree, so the degree of x1 is 1, the degree of x2 is 3, the degree of x3 is 28, then the entire algebra of polynomials becomes graded, because you just declare the degree of a monomial to be the sum of the degree of factors. So you get a graded algebra. And that's the content of this claim. So the claim is that if you look at the primitives, and then you either define the algebra of polynomials in a sort of invariant way without choosing a basis, or you just choose a basis for the set of primitives, then, well, if you choose a basis for the set of primitives, the claim is that our bi-algebra will be the algebra of polynomials with variables, the basis elements of the primitives. Okay? So I think that's all I want to say about the Milner-Moore theorem. No, sorry, that's not all I want to say. Now I want to say a few more things. So first of all, I will not prove this theorem. The truth is that one reason is that I don't think I can write a proof without sort of spending some time with the books, because it's been many, many years since I last time saw a proof. Since last time I saw a proof. So if you want an idea for a good deed, it would be to prove this theorem for us. Okay? But let me tell you some consequences. So first of all, it means that the dimensions that we computed a while ago have some structure. So this is on your handout. Does everybody have a copy of the handout? So the dimension of A as a function of M, the dimension of A reduced as a function of M, and the dimension of P as a function of M go as follows. So I think we've computed the dimension of A, and it came out, for the degrees 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4, it came out to be 1, 2, 3, and 6. Okay? A reduced, so let me remind you, A reduced is just the result of taking A and modding it out by the framing independence relation. But algebraically, it just means that you take A and mod out by diagrams that have an isolated chord, right? The framing independence means diagrams that have an isolated chord. But having an isolated chord means that you could write it as a connect sum with a diagram that has exactly one chord in it. This diagram that has exactly one chord in it is called theta, usually, for obvious reasons. So it's A modulo the ideal generated by theta. Okay? Now, this just means that you drop, so since theta is primitive, it just means that in a certain polynomial algebra, you drop one of the generators, one of the variables. Okay? So, Zuji, you should take copies of the handouts. So you just drop one of the variables. Okay? But what does it do to the dimensions? Okay? So, degree, or let's put it differently. Suppose I knew the dimension of A reduced. Would I be able to recover the dimension of A? Well, a polynomial of degree 7 without theta, sorry, a polynomial of degree 7 with theta has some number of thetas in it, and then a polynomial of the complementary degree. Okay? So if you look at the degree 7 piece of A, or the degree 4 piece of A, it should be the degree 4 piece of A reduced, which is the terms that that have no theta on them, in them, plus the degree 3 term of A reduced, which is the terms that have one theta in them, plus the degree 2 of A reduced, which is the terms that have theta squared in them, and so on. So basically, the degree 4 piece should be the sum of the previous degrees of A reduced. Okay? So that just forces what these degrees should be. So it's 1, 0, clearly this is 0 because we've modded out by theta, and then 1, 1, and 3. And if you look at it, right, so 6 is equal to 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 3, and it continues like that. Okay? And finally, you can compute the dimensions of dimension of the space of primitives. You know, if you think A is big only because it's an algebra, so it contains products, and therefore it's going to have large dimensions, then it's nice to know what the dimensions of the primitives are. So let's figure out what the dimensions of the primitives are. Well, in degree 0, there are no primitives, because you have only the polynomial 1, and the polynomial 1 has no variables in it. Okay? In degree 1, you'd better have one primitive. This is theta. In degree 2, well, I have theta squared, okay? So this would be theta. In degree 2, I have theta squared, but the dimension is 2, so I must have another primitive. So there must be another primitive here, I don't know, let's call it alpha. In degree 3, I have theta cubed, so this would be theta cubed, alpha theta, right, alpha is of degree 2, so it will be alpha theta. And therefore, and that's all I can write with what I have so far. So there must be another primitive. So there must be another primitive here, and let's call it beta. And then in degree 4, let's write what we can so far write. Well, we can write theta to the 4th. We can write alpha squared, we can write theta squared alpha squared. No, we can write alpha squared, sorry, alpha is of degree 2. Okay? we can write beta, no, beta is of degree 3, so beta theta, and that's all that we can write.
Beta squared alpha.
What?
Beta squared alpha.
Theta squared, oh sorry, and there is also theta squared alpha, right. So there are four things that we can already write, but there should be six. So there must be two more here, and you can call them gamma 1 and gamma 2, and you can find them on your spare time. And the point is that it continues like that, and you can likewise continue compute. There are more efficient ways to do it, but the principle is that you can continue computing the dimensions of PM, and if you go as far as 12, which is the farthest that we know, then the dimension of the space of primitives is 55. So there really are many finite type invariants, not just because you can take products. Okay. Okay, next thing. So,
Sorry, question. You're saying that there was a sketchy guess for a generating function for AM, or the dimension of AM?
Yeah, maybe it was for the dimension of PM. I don't remember how it was written.
Okay.
But there is an easy way to go between the generating functions. So, I mean, I don't even remember how it was dated. Okay? Okay. Anyway, so as I said, I will not prove the Milner-Moore theorem, but your homework assignment is to prove a tiny piece of the Milner-Moore theorem, and it's kind of cute. So I want to tell you the cute part of it, and leave all the details for the assignment. Sorry. Okay? So, well, you see, it follows from Milner-Moore and from the fact that theta is primitive that there ought to be a map from A, sorry, there is always a map from A to A reduced, and it's just a projection map, right? Because in A reduced, you reduce by more relations. I mean, after all, A reduced is just A modulo the ideal generated by theta. So there is always a map like this, okay? But it follows from the Milner-Moore theorem that there ought to be a map going the other way. Why? Because this is the polynomial algebra in variables theta, up to, you know, alpha, beta, and so on. And this is the polynomial algebra if you reduce, if you mod out by theta, by the ideal generated by theta, you're just left with the polynomial algebra in the remaining variables, alpha, beta, and so on. But clearly there is a map going this way. Okay? So there ought to be a map going the other way as well. Okay? Furthermore, in the world of polynomials, both maps are morphisms of bialgebras. Okay, both maps, so the map pi would be the evaluation at theta equals zero, and the other map would be just the obvious embedding, and both are homomorphisms of algebras, and if you think about it a little harder, also of coalgebras. Okay? So these two spaces are, well, they're not, so the maps are not inverses of each other. But they are sort of, if you understand one, you understand the other. Okay? But Okay, and let me say it in an even, let me say a little bit more. So also, if you go from A to A reduced and then back, the operation you have just performed is the substitution theta equals to zero. Okay, so there ought to be, a projection P, which goes from A to itself, which maps the ideal generated by theta to zero, and which is a bi-algebra morphism. Okay? So I what I want is to give you a formula for P. Okay? So here's how it goes. First of all, so theta is an element of A, but it also can be considered as an operator on A by multiplication by theta. So theta hat will be the operator going from A to A, defined by theta hat of anything, any diagram, is theta times this diagram. Okay? Likewise, well, theta has a canonical dual. Okay? So there is an element W sub theta, or maybe I'll just call it W sub 1. And W sub 1 is the unique linear functional on A, okay, which maps theta to 1 and everything else to 0. So W1 of a diagram A is equal to 1 if A is equal to theta, and 0 if the degree of A is not equal to 1. In other words, if it's not a multiple of theta. Okay? Now, W sub 1, now, A star is also an algebra, because it's the dual of a coalgebra. Right, and the dual of a coalgebra, well, you just reverse all the arrows you reverse all the arrows in the definition of a coalgebra, and you find that the dual of an algebra is again an algebra. So A star is an algebra. So therefore, there is an operator W1 hat, which goes from A star to A star. Okay? And it's defined in exactly the same way. It defines by multiplication. So, defined by W1 hat evaluated on some other W, so on some other weight system, will be W1 times W. Okay? You know, in knot theory, this amounts to saying that if you have a finite type invariant, you can get another finite type invariant by multiplying it by the Rife. So this is the operation that gets induced on weight systems. Okay? Anyway, this is not the end of the story, because the moment you have an operator, it has an adjoint. So there is an adjoint, W1 hat star, which goes from A to A. Okay? So there are now two operators going from A to A. One is theta hat, and the other is W1 star. Once you have two operators, you want to know what algebra do they satisfy. Okay? So claim the commutator of W1 hat star with theta hat is equal to, so you know in general the commutator of two operators is the difference of doing them in the two possible orders. So the claim is that the commutator of these two is either the identity or minus the identity, whatever the assignment says. So it's the identity. Okay? And this is something that you should be able to verify. So again, I'm speaking in the abstract, and there were several layers of abstraction here, so it should not be obvious what W1 hat star is. But it's actually a very, very, very easy to state operator once you trace through the definitions. So once you trace through the definitions and state it in the easy way that it should be, you find that the commutator is the identity. Yes?
So is so the definition of W1 on A, is it, what if A is a power of theta? Does it still go to zero?
Yes. So W1 maps theta itself to one, so the degree one part of A is one dimensional. So it maps this one-dimensional part to non-trivially by mapping the generator to 1, and everything else gets mapped to 0. Okay? Anyway, here comes the nice abstraction. So you may have seen in quantum mechanics that, well, you have two operators and their commutator is the identity, and it's called the Heisenberg commutation relation. Okay? And if you've seen quantum mechanics a little more, you may have seen the von Neumann theorem, which says that this commutation relation has a unique representation. So in some sense, whenever you see that the commutator of two operators is the identity, it is the two operators coming from quantum mechanics. In quantum mechanics, one operator is multiplication, and the other operation is differentiation. So the moral is that W1 hat adjoint is equal to, in some sense, the differentiation, or should be thought of as the differentiation with respect to theta. Okay? And indeed, on the world of polynomials, multiplication by theta and differentiation with respect to theta give you the commutator which is equal to the identity. So in some sense, this is differentiation with respect to theta. Okay? But now, I have a nice way of saying what P should be, what this projection should be. So this projection is the projection which maps the ideal generated by theta to zero. So it's the evaluation at theta equals zero. Okay? It takes a polynomial to that polynomial evaluated at theta equals zero. Okay? So, how do you write evaluation? So let's write evaluation at theta equals zero in a strange language, in a strange way. So the point is that I want to write evaluation at theta equals zero using only the two operators that I have, which are differentiation with respect to theta and multiplication by theta. So how do you do that? Well, P will be the operator which maps an arbitrary function to its evaluation at theta equals zero, but a different way of saying it, so and all other variables kept in place, and a different way of saying it is to say that you evaluate it at theta minus theta and keep all other variables in place, keep all other variables in place. And this has a Taylor series expansion. Okay? So you can think of it, you know, in the Taylor formula as x and of this as delta x. And then the Taylor series is, the Taylor expansion is that this is the sum as n goes from 0 to infinity of, anybody remembers the Taylor formula? So you take delta x to the n, so that's theta to the power n, divided by n factorial, oh, except it's minus theta to the power n. And then you take the nth derivative of f with respect to theta. Okay? But this is exactly what I wanted. I've written evaluation at zero using multiplication by theta and differentiation. So I am led to guess that the operator P should be the sum as n goes to infinity, from 0 to infinity, of negative theta hat to the power n divided by n factorial times, d to d theta, or if you want, write it as w1 hat star to the power n. And that's the end of my story. Okay? Sorry, I think it's a bit...
Well, it's really theta hat to the n applied to that, right?
It's theta hat to the n
applied
composed with that. So this acts on a function. This acts on a function by differentiating it, and then this acts on a function by multiplying it by theta to the n. Oy, oy, oy. It was too hard. It is too hard, isn't it? There are too many levels of abstraction here. I just describing it took me longer than I expected.
Well, maybe just tell us why you're describing it this way.
Because I want the formula. I want an explanation for the formula. Where does this formula come from? You could prove everything without knowing where it came from. Okay? But this is sort of the story of how the formula arises.
And why do we care about the formula?
Because it gives you the projection. Well, it tells you that you can study A by studying A reduced and vice versa. It gives you the explicit maps that go between A and A reduced. So if you understand one, you understand the other. Oh well. I'm not sure how to make the
So why is it not enough to know that going from the right side to the left side is just a matter of putting theta to zero?
Because this isomorphism here, we don't really understand. Okay, or, I mean, you understand it if you understand the Milner-Moore theorem. Okay, but this, but it's not given in concrete terms yet. Okay, we don't have a concrete statement for the isomorphism between A and a polynomial algebra. Okay, so we expect that there will be such an operation, but we don't yet know how to write it at the level of A. Okay, and this gives you the formulas to write it at the level of A. You know what? I think, so rather than going where I wanted to go, I think I should make this formula a little bit more concrete.
Sorry, if I can try and restate. So you're trying to get this light arrow that you've got going to the left.
Yeah.
And if you were able to take an element in the top right, find a formula for it in terms of primitives.
Yes.
Drop anything with a theta in it.
Yes.
And then go back up to A.
Yeah.
That formula would be this. Is that
yes.
You? Okay.
Yes. Except Z's are not explicit.
We don't, yeah, we don't know
okay.
how to find.
So at least
some
I
opinions.
Have this one explicit.
Right.
Okay. You know what? Maybe. Okay, I'll phrase it as a bit of a hint and a bit of a further description of the end result. So another hint. So I want to understand what W1 hat star is. Okay? So if you trace through the definitions, W1 hat star comes out to be, well, acting on a diagram D, comes out to be you apply the coproduct to the diagram and then evaluate the end result at, so the end result now has two factors, so you evaluate the first one with W1 and keep the other one with the identity. So here is what it means in concrete terms. If you have a diagram with a number of chords, then applying the coproduct means that you look at all, so applying box means that you look at all ways of breaking it into two pieces, and then applying W1 to the left piece means that you take the left piece, or you map the left piece to 1, if and only if it has a single chord in it. So what remains in the right piece is the complementary. Okay, so and to that you apply the identity. So this just becomes the sum of all ways of dropping one chord. So it's this plus that. Okay, so it's the sum of all ways of dropping one chord from the original diagram. Okay? And again, this comes from the abstract definition, and then that's what comes out of it. So the commutation relation is, so this commutation relation is actually obvious. Exactly, for the exact same reason why it is obvious for multiplication operators and ordinary differentiation. So, namely, if you take a diagram and add one chord to it, and then sum over all ways of removing a chord, okay? So, if you have a diagram, and then you add a chord to it, this would be multiplication by theta, and then you sum over all ways of removing a chord, so you cross out one of the chords. Well, if you've crossed out one of the chords that was pre-existing, it would cancel with the term in which you first cross out and then add a chord. The only term that doesn't cancel is the term where you cross out the chord that you've just added. So that's the identity. So hence, d to d theta, commutator with theta is the identity. And finally, what is the combinatorial meaning of this? So, so this operator will take a diagram two. Okay, first of all, you sum over n of dropping n chords and then putting them back in. Except that you put them back in at the beginning of the diagram. You put them back in all in the same place. Okay? So this is the sum of all ways of, say, marking two of the chords and then dropping them, so you're left with this, and then putting them back in at the same place, so something like that. So this is again a sum of all ways of marking some of the chords, removing them from their original position and placing them in some standard place with signs. So basically, each one that you place will get a minus sign. And the n factorial just cancels the different orders by which you could do it. So it's just a sum like this. Let's see what this, I think I'm out of time. Yeah, I'm definitely out of time. But, yeah, I'll quit. Sorry.